it's a great day to praise Him for His glorious love. Trust you've had a great week. We've had a wonderful week. A little time off, my family and I, so we've enjoyed it. Glad to be back, ready to read again in God's Word and open it up today. You can look in your bulletin or in Matthew chapter 5. While I'm reading, I'm going to ask my brother Adam, if he will, to come to the pulpit and be prepared to open us in prayer this morning. Adam and his family were traveling with us. Jessica and the youngest, little Wesley. This is the first time Wesley's been here, isn't it? Oh, he was here at Christmas. That's right. That's right. But it's always a new one when they're that young, when they're that little. They're growing and they look new every time you see them. So, of course, the grandparents are thrilled about that. And we're glad to see them as well. Matthew chapter 5, of course, we're doing our responsive reading. So those words that are in bold lettering, you will read together. The other things I will read, and we'll trade back and forth and make our way through Matthew 5, verses 3 through 11. And I'll begin. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed. Blessed are you then, not just when everything's going well, but even when things seem to be going poorly. And we can take that promise and walk with assurance, with confidence in this world who is not kind to Christians, and there was never a promise that it would be. Blessed are you when you're reviled for His sake, not for your own sake. And we're thrilled about the promises that God's Word gives us, very surely. Adam, come and pray for us. Open us up, if you will, this morning. Thank you.
Well, it's not home anymore, but it feels like coming home when we're back here. And it's good to see everybody. I'm sure after the service we'll be able to say hello to many of you. But I want to say hello publicly and thank you for all the years that we were here and the great memories and the great friendships we still have to this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You are a great God. You're not just great in Your splendor and Your majesty, but You're great in Your kindness towards us. Lord, so many people question and wonder why they must submit to Your way to go to heaven. But Lord, I thank You that You're kind enough that You don't make us get to heaven our way. But Lord, You provided Jesus Christ so that we could get to heaven the way You intended. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who's never received that gift of salvation, that today would be that day for them, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the effect and the impact it's had on mine and my family's life. But Lord, the impact it has on this community and the outreach that it has on the world even. And Lord, I pray today that You would add Your blessing to this time together. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and fall on us. Lord, our country is in need of revival. God, it just seems with every day things are getting worse and worse and worse. And Lord, we can talk about the elections and we can pray that this man or that man would be elected as president. But Lord, nothing's going to change until Christians become more energetic about the things of God and less apathetic about the things of God. And I pray that You would touch every church in America today, Lord, that's coming together. Father, that You would just fall on them and convict hearts, and that Christians would fall on their knees and get right with You, turn from their wicked ways. You said when that happens, You'll hear from heaven and You'll heal our land. And Lord, we're desperate for the healing power of Your Spirit. I pray that You would bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, there's probably no truer song than this one right here. Page 56, To God Be the Glory. Let's stand together as we sing it. Page 56.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So love He the world that He gave us. Who lives in His love. redemption, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God, the violent offender who truly believes, that fullness of Jesus, the pardon receives. Praise the Lord!
Last verse in the chorus, then we'll kick it up a notch and do the chorus again. On the last now.
Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The poorer, higher, and greater will be our Father, our transport. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Great singing. Thank you so much. Randy Kuhn's going to sing a beautiful song. Listen to the words, Lamb of God. God bless you, Randy.
But You have sent Him from Your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gifts of love, they crucified. They laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble King they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I should have died, but You have brought me to Your side to be led by Your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb.
That's a great song. Randy was the one that, what was the name of the song that we sung? Here Comes a Miracle. That was in the Journey Through Christmas. That was one of the folks' favorite parts of that. Just the man, just visually and everything. It was a great scene, and Randy sung that for us and wrote the part before that. So we enjoyed her ministry there, and thank you for that this morning as well. We are so glad for each and every one of you being here, especially our guests. We're so glad that you've made this the place you've come today. Some of you, it's the first time you've come here. And some of you, perhaps it's not the first time. Maybe it's the first time in a long time. Or maybe you've come several Sundays, but you've never let us get to know you, get to meet you. We want to meet you this morning. And here's how we'd like to do that. The bulletin that you received, and if you didn't receive one, we want to get one to you. If you didn't get one of these bulletins, the ushers are ready to give you one. Just put your hand up and keep it up until they get one to you. They'll bring one. There's some down that need them down here. And guys will look around for that. But when you open it, it's a trifold bulletin. And the little flap on the right edge as you open it up is a place for you to tear that off. And the one facing you says, welcome visitors. Okay? We'd like each and every one of our guests to fill that out and do one of two things with it. Fill it out as much as you can. Now, on the back, there's some things for prayer requests, order DVDs, make some, you can understand some possibilities to serve with us here as well. But the side that says, welcome visitors, if you fill that out, then when the offering plate comes by in a little bit, what we'd like for you to put into the offering plate is that little slip. That's a pretty good deal. That's what we ask you to put into the offering. Our folks will do the giving. If you'd like to give on top of that, of course, you're welcome to do that. We'd like for you to put that in, unless, now here's what we'd rather you do. We'd rather you hang on to this and at the close of the service, come right out of the auditorium through those back doors back there and then take a quick right into one of our Sunday school rooms. It gets converted into a little guest reception area that'll be set up for us to get to know you just a little bit. The staff, pastor will be back there, get to know you by name, get to shake hands, find out where you're from, how you found out about us, and talk with you as much as we can. There's some refreshments back there. There's a gift that you'll enjoy that you'll be able to remember us by and take with you, and it'll be of good to you. You'll want to get that. You'll want to come by and get that gift. It's good, okay, if you like coffee, if you like gas in your tank, if you like just giving you a little hint there. It's worth coming by to do that. But if you cannot come by, you're going to have to leave quickly after the service. We understand that's the case sometimes, as much as we'd like to meet you. But if you would still, please put that in the offering plate so that we can have a way to remember your visit. And remember that you were here, have a record of that. Now, there's a lot of things going on at the home place. There's been a lot of things going on at the home place. There's always a lot. And we want you to be cognizant of everything. Now, in the bulletin at the top, as you open it up, there's some announcements listed, but not all of them are there. So we want you to be aware of several things. One of those is the Super Seniors. Super Seniors. Brother Jim Lyle has got the Super Seniors rolling over to the Strawberry Festival very soon. Okay, that's in about a week and 2 weeks. It's in 2 weeks. But if you don't let him know today that you want to go, you're not going with them. You can go by yourself, park by yourself, do your own thing and meet up with them. But to go with them and to get the tickets that he's going to order and ride over, you need to let him know that today because he's ordering the tickets in the morning. Is that correct? So make sure you know that. He's also got some material if you'd like to hand out. Get folks to come if you want to find out a little bit more about the Super Seniors. He's got these. They might be distributed elsewhere, but I know he's got a handful of these little pamphlets that are nicely made, very informative. And they're good to give out. They're good to take if you want to know some more about it. But make sure you let him know if you're going to go to the Strawberry Festival. Search the Scriptures. We're winding up Hebrews 12 and 13, this Friday at 10. We've added the second meeting. So this Friday at 10 a.m., if you're one of those that doesn't like to stay over after church on Sunday night, or maybe you can't, we meet at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. I have some light refreshments. It's not a full meal that we do then. But if you'd like to come 10 a.m., bring your notes, read up this week, get everything brushed up as well as you can. There's no grades. Nobody's going to grade what you've done. I hope not, because I don't want mine graded. But come in and share what God's been teaching you in the book of Hebrews, especially in chapters 12 and 13. And then on Sunday night, we'll do another meeting. We'll have our second meeting next Sunday night. A week from tonight, we'll have our second meeting. Youth Alive, we have an activity this Saturday. going to go to Family Fun Town. We're going to go to CC's Pizza. Okay, so a lot of fun, a lot of food, a lot of pizza. But before that, we're going to go and try to bolster this bus and van ministry, going out and picking up folks in the neighborhoods. We're going to go and sort of blitz an area and hand out information and try to let folks know that they have a ride. If they want a ride to come to the home place, we'll provide one for them. Don't know where we're going to put them, but we're glad to have the problem of needing room and needing more space. And we've got that already, but we want to let folks know that we've got the opportunity that they can come and be with us. We'll leave at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We'll be back at 1 p.m. Leaving at 9, back at 1 p.m. See them. Oh, okay. CMA is back in session this Thursday, so have your young people right back in place. Marching to Zion campaign begins next Sunday. Sunday school teachers, be ready. Marching to Mount Carmel next week. And then what's our morning services on?
Hebron.
Mount Hebron. Ah, that's a good one. I wanted to do that for Sunday school, so maybe I could study that for Sunday school, but I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure you'll want to be here for all of Marching to Zion. And, of course, part of Marching to Zion is going to be marching through the book of Romans in Founders Conference. Be in your place. Pastors issued a challenge to be at every service you can possibly be at that you're not prohibited from attending. Be here every service in March. Just make it a decision. I'm going to do that. And if you can't make it to all of them, be here for every single one that you can. Marching to Zion, marching through Romans in Founders Conference. A lot coming up. Make sure you got a bulletin. Make sure you ask the questions of the people that that involve your activities. Thank you.
I've had one or two people come up to me and say, you know, I can handle 5 weeks in the choir. I can handle that. So that starts tonight, because the 5 weeks would be next Sunday, the 28th, through Easter Sunday, the 27th. That's our five presentations. And we need your help for Easter. Now, we're doing some special things we've never done for the Easter musical, something we've never done thus far in our church, and really that we've ever done. And so we hope that the message will get across in a wonderful and beautiful way. So we need you to sing with us, not just for cantata, but you see, we need you for 5 weeks. We need you for 5 weeks to sing with us up here in the loft on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and because we're going to be practicing all throughout. And you need to kind of be in the swing of things so that whenever the cantata rolls around, you know exactly where to go and how to be. So 4:15 this afternoon. And if you'll practice with us tonight and sing with us tonight and for 5 weeks, just hang on for 5 weeks, we will not make you stay. We'll invite you to stay after the 5 weeks. But if you would help us with that, I know God will bless you for it. Now, let me ask you to put this on your calendar. The 25th of March, that is Good Friday. That'll be a presentation of the Easter musical. We want folks to invite people to this. It seems like that Easter Sunday night is difficult to get people to come, visitors and things after they've been here and for the sunrise service and all that kind of thing. So Pastor has allowed us to have the Easter musical on Friday night and then on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. So put that on your calendar, Good Friday. That'll be our first presentation, and it will be a huge blessing to your heart. I've been working on it already, and the orchestra and the choir and everything. Page 503, let's stand together as we sing, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought.
You may be seated.
Well, that is good singing. I enjoyed it so much. Good to see the newlyweds here this morning. Ah, David looked around. He said, oh, he's talking to me. Good to see y'all. Glad you're here. That's wonderful. Got married yesterday and here in church today. And that's a good thing. Good to see Mike and Nina Hill here today. God bless your hearts. Good to have you. Good to have you. Great to see you. Ushers, come forward if you will. Good to have Mike here this morning. The offering is going to be good this morning, I know. Brother Mike Hill's here. Oh, it's so good to see y'all. Wow, glad you came back to be with us today. Just in for a little while or going to be around for just a little while? Back up to Virginia. North Carolina. Okay. Hope it snows on you till you can't get home. Oh, my boy. We're getting ready to march. March to Zion. March. We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it in fellowship time starting next Sunday. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're going to sing it, and we're going to end up there at sunrise service on March the 28th. March the 28th on Easter Sunday. Boy, we're leading right up to that. It would be wonderful if you could at all do this. Say, I don't generally do this, and where I went to church and where I've been used to going to church, we only had one service a week, and that was on Sunday morning. Well, we have 3 a week around here. We have Sunday school and then the morning service. Then we have night service, evening service at 6 o'clock. And then we have a Thursday night Bible study time. And then we're going to have Founders Conference right in the middle of March there, going through Romans again. First time in a long time we've been in that. And going through Romans, what a wonderful, wonderful book. And if you just say, I don't know about this, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night, and as much as I can through Founders Conference, morning services and night services. If you just give it a try to do that, you might find something that would really, really impact your life. You might find there's something there that you did not even know was there. And it would just be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And give it a try, and I hope you'll do that. Anita, where are you? Anita's right here on the third row. Right here on the third row. She was here last Sunday and has come through surgery and gotten 1 month yesterday. 1 month yesterday. The battle's not over, but she is on the road to recovery and doing well. An absolute miracle, really. It's a miracle. And we thank God for that. Thank God for it. Let's see. Of course, Adam, who prayed earlier today, he's going to be preaching tonight. I hope you'll be here for that. Becky's concert is April the 22nd. They're going to move everything out of here, put that big old piano out here in the middle of the platform, and Becky's going to do a concert. Had a wonderful time. I was not here on Thursday night. How many of you were here Thursday night? Did you enjoy that guy playing the harp? Wow, he is something else, isn't he? And a good testimony and a good word, and we thank God for that. And it's just a blessed time to be able to enjoy things like that in the house of God. Well, God's been good to us. Good to see new faces here today. I'm glad you've come. My father-in-law used to say, we're glad to have you here. We'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. And I hope that you will enjoy the service today and that God will speak to your heart. You visitors that are here today, this is the way we receive the offerings at our church. Now, different churches do it differently, but we pass the plates among the people, and this is for our people. It's for our people. We do not ask visitors to support the ministry of this church unless you want to. Now, if you want to, that's perfectly all right. If you feel that you want to give to the Lord, and it's not just to this church that you're giving. You're giving to the Lord. If you want to give to the Lord, I will make a commitment to you that we will do our best to use what you give for the Lord's work to glorify Him and extend His purposes in this world. But you do not feel any obligation to that whatsoever. You just look at the person next to you and say, are you a member? I say, yeah. He says, well, you put it in. You're right there. Those of you folks who are online who give online, many folks give online every week. They give online and give online. I was noticing, I think yesterday I was looking at some things, and I think last month there was somewhere between $3,000 and $3,500 that had come in January over just through online giving. And I'm very thankful for that. The Lord blesses and takes care of things. And we'll pretty soon have it fixed up away. If you want to, you can just go on your phone at offering time. Just go on your phone and just punch a few buttons and just give. Just give like that. Just make it easy. Just make it easy for you. Never resist a generous impulse. Never resist a generous impulse, especially when it comes to giving to the Lord. Father, you have given and given and given and given to us. I pray that what we give today will be pleasing to you and will be blessed of you. Give us wisdom in the use of it. In Jesus' name, amen. worth the ticket, I tell you. Yes, sir. All right. In your bulletin, you have the words that say, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. From Hebrews chapter 13, let's stand together and sing it. Yesterday, today, forever.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name.
Oh, wonderful. And that verse and that song expresses the doctrine of what? Immutability. Mutation has to do with change. But God is immutable. He does not change. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. I'm so glad God's mood didn't change. I'm so glad He doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm so glad He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, that's kind of monotonous, isn't it? Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's kind of consistent. It's wonderful in every area of life how God has the two laws of uniformity and uniqueness. You can look at any leaf from an oak tree and say, that's an oak leaf. That's an oak leaf. And it's consistent, always consistent. And yet every one of them are different. Every one of them are different. Look at all of us and say, well, they all just look alike. No, they don't. No, they don't. Yeah, they do. They all look alike. They all, and there are likenesses among them. Well, that's another sermon. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. All right? Yesterday, today, and forever, the instruments will play. The choir will come down. Greet those around you. Welcome one another to the service.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name.
Amen. You may be seated. Good to see Rhonda Sutton here today. We prayed for her the other Sunday night. God's brought her through surgery. She's in a lot of pain. Deaf lady down here, but she said, I wanted to be here today. I wanted to come today. And we're so glad to see you, Rhonda. And God bless you. We pray your pain will go away quickly and you'll have a good recovery. And we thank God for that. Roger's family will sing. Then I'll come back from the last book, from the last page in the book,
and the last verses of the last chapter of the book, Revelation chapter 22. Hope is steadfast and sure. The last book of the Bible. In my Bible, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. But that's not God's title of the book. God's title of the book is given in the first words, the first line of the first verse. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And whenever we come to the last chapter in verse 16, it says, I, Jesus. have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. It's the same thing he says in the beginning. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the root and I am the offspring of David. And the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride. Now, who is this talking? I, Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, these words are in red. Now, it doesn't make them more inspired. It just kind of identifies the speaker whenever you have the words of Christ in red. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now this last statement given here, although he says again what he's already said twice in this book, I come quickly. He has said twice before this. Now he comes and he's going to say it again in just a moment. Behold, I come quickly. It's almost the Great Commission given here. It's coming to the end. There's some last things. The last commands are given here. In verse 20, you have the last promise given for the third time in this chapter. Surely I come quickly. That means suddenly. Suddenly I come. Amen. And then there's the last prayer. John says, on behalf of all of us, and we join with him in saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, we're saying in these few verses, if you watch this, it's a beautiful thing. We're saying to others to come to Jesus, and then we're saying, Lord Jesus, come. So we're giving the invitation to others to come, and at the same time saying, Lord, come. We used to sing an old song back up in the country, said, wait a little longer, believe Jesus. Wait a little longer. And I understand the motivation, and the motivation of the song is this. Wait a little longer, please Jesus. There's still so many wandering out in sin. But what the Scripture says is not to say, Lord Jesus, don't come because there's still others need to be saved. It's like saying, I love people more than you do. And we don't love folks more than God loves them. But we say, come, Lord Jesus. But while we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, we're also saying to others, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. It's a marvelous picture we have in these verses right at the end of the book. At the very end of the book. I want you to look at a couple of things very quickly today. I want you to look at those who do the inviting. Those who do the inviting. This last invitation. In the English Bible, the most used four-letter word is the word come. Over and over and over, that word is used. It's a word of invitation. It's a word inviting. Inviting. Whenever Philip went to Nathanael, and he said, we found the Messiah. And he said, well, who is he? He said, he's Jesus from over here in Nazareth. Oh, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, well, come. Come. Come and see. Come and see. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, 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 come.
all the way through the Word of God. And here at the end, we're still hearing the words of the Lord. Come. Come. And then we say back to Him, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Even so, as you promised, even so. Those who do the inviting. Now look at what it says, just straight from the Scripture. The Spirit says, come. Now what's that talking about? That's talking about the Holy Spirit in this book, which is His book, inspired of God the Holy Spirit. Holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. The Spirit says, come. It is not an accident that the most used word is come. 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 The Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, come. He invites you. He invites you. Now, somebody says, come over to the house. Friday night, 6 o'clock, we're going to have, grill steaks. And we're going to cook baked potatoes and we're going to have all these kinds of things and everything's going to be wonderful. We're going to make homemade ice cream. We're going to have banana pudding and it's just going to be a great time. Will you come? And I said, no, I can't make it. Now what you're going to say is, let me see if I can't move some things around here. I'll see if I can't work that out. That's an invitation. An invitation. Now we do that at this church. It's become somewhat popular in certain circles to not give what we call an invitation in a church service. How many of you have ever been in a church service that did not have an invitation? Anybody? Yeah, okay, most everyone has, and not always do we do that. Like a Bible study on Thursday night, we don't always do that. But in the morning service, the evening service, because we preach to instruct people, challenge people, and then we invite them to react or respond to how the Holy Spirit may have spoken to their hearts. You say, well, you have to walk down front to do that. No, but sometimes it helps to have someone pray with you, open the Bible with you, and identify with you. So we give what we call an invitation. We invite people to come. Trust Christ as their Savior, which is what this invitation is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit says, come. And whenever the Spirit says, come, the bride ought to say, come. The bride should say, come. The church is the bride of Christ. And whenever the Holy Spirit is saying, come to the individual, the church ought to join in that. The church ought to say, come. The church ought to work with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works with the church, and so the Holy Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come. That's the way it ought to be. I think in this church, I would not want to be part of a church that did not care about whether people got saved or not. You know, I think it would be proper and appropriate for us as a church to exercise the truth that is expressed here. Do I hear a motion? Let's have a little business meeting, okay? Let's have a little business meeting. This is an unusual time for a business meeting. But let's call the church to order and say the church will now come to the order of a transaction of business. And the business before us at this time is whether or not we want people to be saved. Do I hear a motion that this church expresses a desire for people to be saved? I have a motion right back here, a motion that this church seeks to invite people to Christ. Is there a second to that motion? Oh, all over second to that motion. Now this is the bride acting now. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then the bride says, come. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this church
in business meeting on February the 21st, 2016, if there were any question about it, today we have voted with a unanimous vote to say, we want you to come to Christ. Now, if the Spirit has been speaking to your heart, I want you to know this church joins with the Holy Spirit in saying to you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Sometimes we sing, come ye sinners, lost and hopeless. Christ was the hope. They just sang it a while ago. Jesus' blood avails for thee, for he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. Yes. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of wisdom, love, and power. Amen. I vote for it. I say amen. With the Holy Spirit, joining together, the Spirit and the Bride say come. But look what else it says. There's someone else involved in the invitation. And let him that heareth say come. Now, the word heareth here has to do with hearing, with an understanding and a response. In other words, I have been to that point where I had the Holy Spirit speak to me. I was in a church that joined with the Holy Spirit and invited me to come, and I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. I heard that. Now, I heard that. I responded to that. I came to Jesus. Now, it's my responsibility to say the same thing to others. Come. Come. So, there is God saying come. There's the church saying come. And there's the individual saying come. Wow, isn't it great? Whenever the Holy Spirit faithfully does His work and says to people, come to Jesus. And the church joins with that and says, come to Jesus. And there are individuals saying, oh yes, I heard Him and I came. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Those are the ones given the invitation. What a wonderful thing. Now, God's going to do His part. The Holy Spirit's going to work. As a church, we ought to work. But as individuals, if we have heard, let him that heareth say, come. If you heard and responded to the Lord, say it. Say it to others. Say, come. Come. Now I want you to look at those who are invited. It's right there in the verse. It's right there in the verse. Look at those who are invited. And let him that is, what's the next word? A thirst. A thirst. Now there's a thirst in this old world. There are people thirsting for identity. You know as well as I do. Sometimes they even say it right out loud. I just don't know who I am. Now, they don't really say it like that. What they say is, I'm trying to find myself. You ever hear anybody say that? I'm trying to find myself. Well, go look in the mirror. There you are. And I understand it's not as simple as that. But there's a thirst for identity. There's a thirst for recognition. There's a thirst for love. There's a thirst for acceptance. Do you know that all of those things are found in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is an identity that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an identification with a group of people, with an individual. You become a child of God, joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get a new home, you get a new family, you get a new father. You get a whole new identity. It's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an acceptance when you come to Him. No person ever came to Jesus and Jesus said, No, I don't accept you like you are. You go get straightened up and then you come back and see me. Now, sometimes we're like that, but He's never like that. I think that's one of the reasons that for many, many, many years, and even today, one of the most used invitation songs. Songs that we sing at the invitation. One of the most used songs is, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." The only plea I have is that Thy blood was shed for me. And that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Because it is the profoundness of the invitation. And it's the individual invitation from the Lord, from the church, from other individuals, that Thou bidst me, just as I am. Not saying go out, you go out and get better and get your life straightened up, you pay up your debts, you get forgiveness from all those people you've offended, and then you come back and see me and then maybe I'll consider you. No, He doesn't say that. He says, come to me. Come to me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Those that are thirsty can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him find that acceptance and find that love that perhaps you do not find in your home, in your community, among those of your own age or those who are older than you. You do not find that purpose. You do not find that joy. You do not find that satisfaction. And there are people running around going this way and this way and this way and this way, looking and looking and looking and trying to find something, and they really don't even know what they're looking for. They can't even identify it. They just know that there's something missing in my life and I don't know what it is, and I try here to find it and I try here to find it and I try here to find it, and it seems like I've found it, and for an hour or two everything's okay, or a day or two everything's all right, and then it seems like it's all gone again. I want you to know there is, and this is not scripturally stated this way in the Bible, but the truth is there. There is an emptiness in your life that only God can fill. And there may be things that take away your attention from that emptiness for a while. But whenever the fun stops, whenever the roller coaster comes to the end of the ride, whenever the show is over, it's still there. It's still there. There's a God-shaped vacuum in everybody's life. And only God can fill that. If you're athirst, if you're thirsting, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Like the woman at the well. I don't know why I'm singing so much today, but so many songs written about it. I was thirsting for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard the Master speaking, drink from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Let him that is athirst dig a well. No, let him come. Can it be that simple? Yes, it can be that simple. Because he is the one who cried, I thirst. And he endured that unsatisfied thirst in his own life so that he may be the water of life that satisfies the thirst in our lives. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel like that. I got a pretty good life. I'm doing okay, you know. I'm not running around trying to find things and chase things and chase this and chase that and the other, trying to find, I don't really sense that thirst in my life. Well, you may not sense that, but whether you sense it or not, there's something in your life you need. So it says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Now, can I point out something to you about this statement right here? Whosoever will. I want you to know that it's located in the Word of God right before that verse that says, don't you take anything away from what God has said. Don't you add anything to what God has said. It's right before that verse that says, don't you mess with the Word of God. Don't you mess with what God has said. Right before that verse, I'll testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man add unto these things, God shall add them to the plagues of the book that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things that are written in this book. Don't you mess with the Word of God. The verse right preceding that is the verse that says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Be careful. Be careful about, I don't know, if you didn't grow up doing this, you don't understand this word. But there's a word that was used back on the farm, and I guess it's used other places too, the word cull. Cull. You heard that word cull? Yeah. Well, this is what it means for all you youngsters. Now, if you were raised in the city, you may be 89 years old, but you're still a youngster if you haven't learned this word, okay? Let me go just take one illustration. If you were stringing green beans, and you came to one that had a rotten spot on it, you just culled it. That means you just threw it away. Threw it out. You culled it. You just cull that one. Now, I don't know whether you're going to find C-U-L-L, cull, in the dictionary or not. I don't know whether you're going to find it. I didn't look it up. But that's what it means to cull. I'm glad that God doesn't cull anyone. He said, I can deal with you. I can handle you. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. So, preacher, I don't know whether I qualify or not. Oh, yeah, you qualify. Are you a whosoever? Are you a live, breathing human being? You say, but you don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know the one who does know you. He's the one that wrote the book. I didn't say whosoever. He's the one that said whosoever. You don't know me either. If you knew me, you'd send me to hell. Some of you might want to anyhow, but you don't get to. Whosoever will, let him come. And here's the offer. And take of the water of life. Partake of the water of life. Freely. Freely. Jesus, on that last day of the feast in John chapter 7, He stood on that last day, the great day, the day that they went all day long without drinking any water. On that last day of the feast. And He said, He that is athirst, come to me, and I will give him of the water of life freely. Well, how can He give the water of life? Because remember the Old Testament? Whenever Moses was in the wilderness and the people were complaining because they were thirsty, didn't have anything to drink, and Jesus said, do a strange thing. The Lord said, do a strange thing. This is an odd thing to do. You really have to have faith to do this. He said, take that rod that's in thy hand. That rod that He took to the burning bush. He threw it down, it became a serpent. Picked it up, turned back to that rod. He said, take that rod and strike this rock. Just hit it. Just hit the rock. And Moses said, shall I give you water out of a rock? And he hit that rock and water came flowing out. Now what was that all about? Why did he do that? We learn about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because it talks about that incident in the Old Testament where Moses struck the rock and it says very clearly, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is the water of life. Him that is athirst, whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely, freely, without money, without price. That's grace. That's grace. I hear some people these days talking about free grace. That's like saying wet water. If it's grace, it's free. Now, it costs somebody something, but it costs Jesus His sacrifice on Calvary, that it might be free to us. Whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. So it's available. It's available. If you're here today and you're thirsty, the Holy Spirit says, come. Come to Jesus. This church says, come. As an individual, I heard, I came, I say to you, come. Come. Take the water of life freely. How do you respond to an invitation? You know, this invitation requires an RSVP. Now, I don't know what all that's about, but I whenever I see that on a note, on an invitation, I know you're supposed to respond to it. You're supposed to respond to it, yea or nay. And this invitation demands a response. Demands a response. So what will your response be? Take freely means to believe. It means to accept. But as many as received Him, to them became He. He became. He, to them He gave the gift of everlasting life. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become
the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Will you come to Jesus? You've either got to say, yes, I will, or nope, not going to do that. Not going to do that. Don't look for me. I won't be there. I won't be there. I am not going to respond to your invitation. I'm not going to accept your invitation. Don't be among that crowd. Don't be among that crowd. I, Jesus, say unto thee, let him that is athirst come. So the Spirit says come. The Bride says come. Let him that heareth say come. That's His will that we say come. To whom? To those that are thirsty. And whosoever will come, take of the water of life freely. Now I'm going to ask you this. Are you doing your part in the invitation? Are you doing your part? Well, you say, preacher, a while ago, whenever you said, if you're all in favor of people coming to Jesus, well, I say amen. I said amen, or yes, or yay, or whatever. I don't know what I said. Yeah, but it goes beyond that. If you've heard, you need to say, come. Invite others. If you're here, you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you today to come. Now, I'm going to invite you to come down here in the front. You don't have to come down here at the front to come to Him. But there in your place, you can say, Lord Jesus, I come. I come. We're going to have the instruments play this morning that song that says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And we're going to invite you. We're going to give an invitation. We're going to invite you to come to Jesus. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder how many here this morning would say, preacher, today I will. It says, whosoever will. So I will. Today I will come to Jesus. Now, if you've never done that, and you're here today and you'd say, I'd like to do that. I will do that. I will do that. I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Let me help you. Let me help you do that. I want you to pray this prayer to God. Dear God, now, you don't have to pray out loud unless you want to. You're not praying to the person around you, any person around you. You're not praying, certainly not praying to me. This is between you and God. But you somehow express these words, form these words with your lips. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I want to go when I die. I believe Jesus died for me to pay for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead with power to forgive my sins. And right now, I will accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer to God, would you testify to that by just raising your hand? I prayed that prayer to God today. Amen. Amen. I did that. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. If you'd like to walk down front and say, "Preacher, I did that today. Shake my hand." I'd be glad to shake your hand. You don't have to do that. But if you'd like somebody to pray with you, open the Bible with you and show you the verses exactly where it says that, that would be good. That would be good. But you don't have to do that. That's not part of the Scripture. If you've come to Him, that's what the Scripture says. How many of you here this morning that say, "Preacher, I have heard the invitation. I have responded to the invitation. But I need to be more involved in this matter of giving the invitation. I need to be more involved in that part of it." Would you raise your hand? "I need to be more involved in that part of it." Well, I trust everybody didn't raise your hand, that you're as involved as you should be. I trust you're giving that invitation out to others. There may be some here this morning that God spoke to your heart about joining with this church, become part of this fellowship. If you'd like to do that, we invite you to come and be part of this fellowship. If somebody here needs to be baptized, we certainly would invite you to come today, and we'll either baptize you today or make preparation for you to be baptized if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, however God's spoken to your heart. The instruments are going to play just as I am, without one plea. I'm going to walk down to the front. If God's spoken to your heart and you need to come, will you come? Gentleman to you over here, and we'll get the rest of that filled out later. Alexander?
Alejandro.
Alex, stand up here with me, Alex. Alex, I asked you this last week. Alex came up front, and I don't know whether I said to him or someone else said, "Why have you come?" He said, "I need to be saved." And yesterday is always last Sunday. Tomorrow is next Sunday, okay? And I think you sat down with him, didn't you? Aaron sat down with him, opened the Word of God with him. And Alex, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes, I do.
And have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you? Amen. Amen. Did he do that?
Yes, he did.
Amen. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And now you want to follow the Lord in baptism and be a part of this church. Is that right? Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you rejoice with him, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We do rejoice. And we welcome you to the family. You know how we do that. You've been here a while. But we say, "Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters, come on in. Welcome to the family of God." These people look real happy about that.
And you look real happy about it, too. Are you going to go with him back to get ready for baptism? All right. Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Get saved. Get baptized. If you aren't saved, get saved. If you've been baptized and then got saved, get baptized after you get saved. Ethiopian eunuch was on his chariot riding down, reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit took Philip down the desert area, down in Gaza. Ooh, that's a popular name today, isn't it? Down in Gaza. And the guy came riding along. Philip saw he had the scroll there, and he said, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "I don't get a bit of it." He said, "Who's this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else?" And he began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53. What a wonderful place. Just by chance, he was reading in Isaiah 53. Aren't these chances wonderful? And he preached to him Jesus. And he said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." Wonderful thing. Believe, be baptized. Now you can put on a wedding ring before you get married if you want to, but it's good, you know, it's good pattern to follow is get married and then put your wedding ring on. Okay? That's the way it ought to be. I got baptized whenever I was a kid, joined a church, got baptized, all that kind of stuff. And then I got saved. And then I realized, wow, you're supposed to get baptized after you get saved. So I got baptized. They took me back in the same creek, a few miles upstream from where I was before. But I guess about a mile upstream. But got baptized. Showing forth my trust and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Hope you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to go baptize. He has some words for us.
Some of you have joined the church recently over the past few months, and perchance we did not get you a pictorial directory in your hands. I noticed that I found a stack of these left over. I'm going to leave these down front, and first come, first serve. If you already have one, don't collect them. but if you don't have one, feel free to take one with you. It's a big help. Your picture probably is not in here, and so you know a lot of folks have joined since we've done this, but at least it gives you a good head start on putting names with faces. So these will be right down front here, and you can help yourselves to them. Thank you.
How many of you know that song she was playing? Oh, a good number of you. Wow. "Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come." What a wonderful, grand old song. And Alex, I'm so glad you came to the Lord. I'm glad He came to you. And I'm glad now you've come to Him. And I'm thrilled with what God's done in your life and what God's going to do in your life. How old are you?
21.
How many?
21.
21. Good age. Good age. Gotta be careful now. They'll send you to the big house now if you get locked up. But I'm glad you belong to the one who has a big house in heaven now. Amen. Alex, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your own Savior, and in obedience to God and God's command, I now baptize you, my brother,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Put both hands over your nose and mouth. Buried in the likeness of His death, and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Amen. And it has been done as our Lord commanded. Let's stand together, if you will. I want you to shake hands with those around you. Greet one another. Be careful in the parking lot. And just come back tonight at 6 o'clock and work this out to be at every service in March. I hope you'll do that. God bless you. You're dismissed. Okay. Well, Brother Mark talked to you folks, if you watched in Sunday school, Brother Mark talked to you a while about joining in online and kind of challenged you a little bit, and there's some things you miss by not being here, but there's some things you get. And so I hope it was a good service for you today, and that you remember, whosoever will, let him come. And those of us who have come are to issue the invitation to others to come. Thank you so much for being with us. I don't know whether you've ever watched a service where my son, who pastors up in Georgia, who prayed early in the service today, Adam, I don't know whether you've ever watched whenever he preached here, but he's going to be the preacher tonight. And if you watch us tonight on live stream, well, you'll hear Adam preach, and I hope you'll be able to do that. Been good to have you with us today. Thank you so much. And always great to be able to come to you through the live stream. We'd love to have you here, but if you can't be here, we're glad you're there with us. So God bless you. Thank you so much, and I trust you'll have a wonderful day for the Lord Jesus Christ.